Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
It's Friday, which means it's time for the Front Free Football Podcast, a very special Front Free Podcast. Me, Adam Bottwell here, alongside some guests today. There's no Chris Ennis, there's no Nico Morales, very busy man. But instead, we've got Flav from the Fighting Cock Podcast.
Hello.
Flav, how you doing?
I'm doing very, very well. Privileged to be here.
Less busy.
Less busy.
Yeah. We've also got James Alcott as well.
Even less busy.
Very touched for a Big Lad Podcast. The James Lawrence Alcott YouTube channel as well.
Indeed, thank you, man.
Very privileged to have two big influencers with us today.
It's a pleasure.
To talk.
Don't laugh.
To talk. I laughed extremely. Immediately after I said it, it was a mistake. But guys, we're here to talk about three big talking points from the week. It's been a big week in football.
Yeah, massive.
We're here to talk about Mauricio Pochettino signing a new contract with Spurs. We're here to talk Unai Emery joining Arsenal. Of course, there's a small matter of the Champions League final on Saturday night, Liverpool against Real Madrid. Let's start with Mauricio Pochettino, though, Flav. It was confirmed yesterday. He signed a new 5-year contract at the club, along with his backroom staff. He's now going to be at the club until 2023, I believe.
Yeah.
What was your immediate reaction to
the news?
I was
over the moon.
Great news.
Incredible news. It's what I wanted. Obviously, towards the end of last season, there was some talk, or it weren't like he was going to leave, but it was he was talking in ways that we weren't familiar with, which was a little bit unsettling. And, you know, the season didn't end the way we wanted it to. We had some good results in the league, but we failed to lift the FA Cup, and that raised some questions over him. And I think he was reacting to the pressure being put on him by the press. It's like, when are you going to win something? I think within the club, we all knew that winning a trophy isn't the be-all and end-all at this stage. We're moving towards that. It's a gradual progress rather than immediate success, which all football fans seem to crave so deeply. But that's also to the detriment of how much you can enjoy football, because not everyone can win. There's only there's two trophies, really, that we had a chance of winning at the start of the season. So,
which were they? The FA Cup
and the Premier League, I think we had it. We were in with a shout. But, you know, the FA Cup was the main one. We didn't win it, whatever. I was over the moon, though. It's what we wanted.
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic thing for Spurs. Obviously, as you say, there was that uncertainty at the end of the season. He sort of raised those question marks in a couple of press conferences. He seems to, according to reports, have got those assurances he wanted from Daniel Levy about the transfer spend he could have in the summer.
Yeah.
So it all sort of bodes well for Spurs. It is a statement of intent. I think I've said before, they're sort of almost a victim of their own success in that, you know, they are a club who are overachieving. They are punching above their weight. They're doing very well. And Pochettino himself has said almost ahead of schedule in terms of where they are right now. Yeah. They're moving into a new stadium now. You'd expect they're going to move on to that next level.
Yeah.
What's your opinion of it, James, from a sort of outside non-Spurs biased perspective?
I think it's great for the club. I think it's another example of the fact that Pochettino's happy and happy to set the example, basically set the lead for what he probably wants from some of the players to do as well, in terms of signing a contract, committing to the club and committing to that project that he started already.
Six first-team players are going to probably follow suit.
Well, that's an odd one, an interesting one, because obviously the discrepancy between Tottenham and the rest of the clubs at the top of the league is the amount we spend on wages. Out of the top six, we're so far below everybody else, it's unreal, and that's what Pochettino think he means by overachieving. If these six players, I think the players are Harry Kane, Eriksen, Ali, Vertonghen, Lloris, and one other that is and Son. If all of those get improved contracts, that would be a significant outlay.
Well, if you could pick six, that would be your six, wouldn't it?
Vertonghen's a strange one. He's 31 years old. It goes against what we saw with Alderweireld. He's come onto his own this season. You know, he was always the second defender. Yeah. I knew he was playing with. He was great, but he isn't a leader. Yeah. And with Sanchez under his wing, he's really blossomed this year. So he should get a new contract. I want him to stay. Yeah. He could play there for the next 2 or 3 years comfortably. But it's a bit of an odd one because it's not in keeping with the rest of our policy.
What was your perspective, James, on Spurs' end of the season? Because I think, you know, Flav spoke about it there. It's a little bit disappointing. I think given the expectations at the start of the season, we were hoping to build on the last 2 years, to not win that FA Cup was... It did mean the season finished on a bit of a downbeat note. But at the same time, I think we do have to appreciate three seasons in the Champions League under Mauricio Pochettino, first time we've ever done that. There are those marks of progress, even though the silverware's not there.
Yeah, I think it was job done, wasn't it? Again, I mean, the narrative at the start of the season was Wembley's going to turn your home form into mush and you're not going to be able to even get into the Champions League again, which was going to be so important for you. And I think they probably would have strategized to be okay with you not getting in the Champions League. But you have, which is massive. I think with Pochettino, the problem is, like you said earlier, you set a new watermark when you exceed expectations and then people expect you to do even better than that the next season. And I think that makes it hard. But I think it can only be great news. And it shows again that, you know, Arsene Wenger, his whole tenure, how it turned stale. It's not turned stale at Spurs yet. It's still exciting times.
One of the worries was the relationship between Levy and Pochettino was under strain. Perhaps he wasn't going to get the money he wanted to turn us into this next level football club. And we need to spend. And whatever meetings they had, it resulted in him coming out with a new contract, which is, we weren't expecting that.
Yeah.
It came out of the blue.
It's only incredibly positive. But, I mean, what do you expect to happen this summer then? Because, of course, we're moving into a new stadium, which is obviously very exciting.
Yeah.
But the cost of that stadium is, I think, projected about 800 million, could be a billion at the end of the day. That's obviously a lot to pay for Spurs. So do you expect them to go out and splurge on the likes of Zaha, Sessegnon, who have been linked? Or do you think it is going to be something we've seen before where Spurs have to sell to buy? Alderweireld's been linked to Man United, etc.
Yeah, we will sell to buy. That's not to say that we won't spend significantly. It's just that players are on their way out and that money will be used for transfer fees. I think we need to spend more than we recoup, though. That would be the difference. Yeah. We haven't done that. I don't think we've ever done it under Levy, where we've spent more than we have coming in. And that's shrewd. And that's, to some degree, how you would want a decent football club or any business to run. And no business should spend more than it brings in. But we're not in it for that. The supporters are not in it for that. And ultimately, success is guaranteed, or at least much more likely, by spending money.
Don't you need to be smart at this moment in time? You know, everyone needs to stay calm, surely, with Spurs.
Just stay calm.
What's so massive about Pochettino signing is that there is such trust there, and so much trust in terms of he'll find the player. I won't know what his name is, and I don't know where he will probably come from, but he'll come in and he'll turn into a great footballer. And that environment, people talk about stability all the time. That's so valuable.
It must be enticing because, you know, as you say, the other clubs can pay 2-3 times the money, but Pochettino has obviously shown, as you're saying, that ability to develop a young player. Where do you think is the main area they need to improve? Because according to reports, the left-back position is somewhere Spurs are going to try and strengthen, be it Sessegnon, or apparently the second choice is Luke Shaw, which makes sense given his situation at Manchester United. But midfield as well, it looks like Moussa Dembele is leaving, potentially to China or elsewhere for one final payday. Is that the area where you think Pochettino needs to concentrate on this summer in terms of bringing in reinforcements?
I think we need reinforcements throughout the team. I don't need wholesale changes. We need new blood coming in. It feels like we've reached that glass ceiling. We need players with different attributes in order to march on. So Sessegnon, I don't think, would be signed as a left-back. I think he'd be signed as a forward. Although he started...
The new Gareth Bale.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Gareth Bale, that would be nice.
Bring him back.
Yeah. So I know there's not much insight in what I've just said. It's just that we do need to replace Dembele. We do need to replace Alderweireld. I'm sure they're going to do that. Let's talk of De Ligt from Ajax, but he's 18. You know, what's he going to do? I think they've got massive faith in Winks. I really do. They said it at the start of the season that he's going to be the next big thing at Spurs. And his injuries have... He's fallen off a cliff since I said that.
Yeah, we had a doc ready to go. Didn't we? So, just never came
to Ball Street.
Still on the back burner.
We started working, collecting interviews. He'd done an interview with Winks and you know, talking to loads of people because he was on fire. You know, he went over and dominated Cruz and Modric in Madrid. And then his injuries are horrendous, but he's just signed a new contract. I think they believe in him.
There's an opportunity next season, potentially.
Absolutely. Without Dembélé in there, there's definitely an opportunity, but we need numbers in there. We need to increase the size of our squad with quality. And I don't mean Moussa Sissoko.
I don't think anyone...
Poch loves him, you know.
What?
I'd be surprised if you started next season and people were going, this squad's better than it is right now. I think
on perception, it probably won't be on paper, but some of these players are fading, Dembélé especially.
Yeah, I feel like if we made one or two key signings, I think it would be stronger, but I mean, that remains to be seen. I mean, what do you make of these Gareth Bale rumours? Because there's something that seems to be gathering pace. It seems like his time at Madrid could be up. He's not an automatic starter under Zidane, despite his performances this season. I think he's got 18 goals in 38 appearances, which is nothing to sniff at.
A lot of games as well.
Yeah, he has played, despite his injury record.
Goal scorer, isn't he, for Real Madrid, I think?
I mean, it's not bad.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, that's doing it.
I'm excited now.
But there is this sense that maybe he's not first choice. He's maybe achieved everything he can in Spain. If he wins on Saturday night, which we'll come on to, that'll be four Champions Leagues at Real Madrid, which is incredible. There is that opportunity. Could he potentially move on to the likes of PSG, Bayern Munich, who might be interested? Manchester United as well. Jose Mourinho and Ed Woodward are known to be fans. Or, as these rumours are suggesting, do you think it's realistic to expect him to come back to Spurs? Would that even be a smart move, given the wages, the injury record?
I'm interested to get your opinion. It's romantic. It's not going to happen. Let's be honest. It's not.
I think he's right.
Unfortunately.
I think you're right too.
Do you know what? Because the spin on Gareth Bale and him as a player is mad. Because people, they talk like he's finished. He's 28. He's 28.
I think he turns 29 the day after the World Cup final or something. So it's like he's still... But then you've got... He's prime.
Exactly. You've got Sanchez moving to Man United and everyone going, wow. You've got... What a move. I know, like, obviously, a forward player is a different dynamic to a centre-back. But he's still got a lot to offer.
But this is... If he does move now, this is his last big move. This is his last big move.
Yeah, and I think he needs to move. He needs that.
This is the only chance he gets to come back to Tottenham as well. You know, you're not coming back when you're 33 and you're shot to bits.
Yeah.
You're coming back. There was a time. Yeah. And that actually leads on to my next point.
I'm not sure. I totally agree with that.
He doesn't come back to Tottenham under Pochettino at 33 years old. No chance.
At 32, maybe.
Maybe. But that leads me to my point is that the team that he left isn't the same club. The club that he left isn't the same club that we are now. I'm going to ask you a question, Nad.
Sure.
Is he better than Kane? Is he better than Eriksen? Would he give more?
I think there is that.
He'd be on the left though, wouldn't he?
Yeah, this is the thing. But then if you put him on the left, where does he fit into that team? You've got Son on the left usually. You've got Eriksen potentially there if everyone's fit. It's difficult to see how he sort of almost fits into the team. And does he disrupt the balance? Does he disrupt the flow that they've got? I'm not sure it's the right move. I think a lot of Spurs fans feel the same way. The wages, etc. It doesn't seem to make sense. People would rather see, I think, Spurs fans see Martial come in potentially. Yeah. Someone who's been linked with Manchester United, with Spurs for a long
time. I mean, if you have to choose one or the other, you take Bale, right?
I think with my heart, you'd take Bale. Exactly. With your head, you'd take Martial.
What about Zaha or Bale?
But I'd rather have Zaha than Bale.
Than Bale,
personally.
So I think Zaha is on a similar trajectory to Bale. I think two seasons at Spurs.
Thing we're lacking as well, like, we've got it a little bit in Son, and obviously Lucas Moura has shown flash of it, but that pace to get him behind the defence.
Yeah.
Bale, I think, has it to an extent, but will he have it in 1-2 years time?
Yeah.
Zaha's got that. He's got that speed, that skill. Could be an asset.
One-on-one, he is devastating. What's happening as the years go by is that he's starting to create this little... Some footballers, Ronaldinho has that bubble because people are scared to go and engage and tackle them.
So you're going
to
get roasted.
And with Zaha, it's that, but he's willing. Ronaldinho kind of waited and waited and then beat you, whereas Zaha just runs straight at you. I think it's class.
Before we move on, then, optimistic about next season, absolutely. Nothing but positivity.
Absolutely.
Expecting to challenge for the title, absolutely. In the new stadium.
All of it. Okay. All of it. I want it all.
We all want it all. But doesn't mean it's going to... I mean, James, you think Spurs are going to be maybe... I think finishing fourth, third, I should say, this season.
Above Liverpool.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Next season, do you think Spurs can better that again? Can they challenge realistically with City, United?
I think I see the top six staying quite similar. The only change I can see is Liverpool and Spurs maybe swapping. But if whatever happens in the Champions League final, there's going to be a new kind of pressure on Liverpool. And that could be difficult for them. And if they aren't able to deal with that, they aren't able to kind of move forward, Salah doesn't have the same kind of season,
sure,
then maybe you could finish third again. But I think you're looking solid. I can't... And maybe you might have a season where you don't play as well, but something drops for you and you get a bit of luck and you get yourself a League Cup or an FA Cup and you'll be happier with that than finishing third.
Harry Kane come back from Russia having lifted the World Cup. I think it's going to be a big positive atmosphere around the club.
I think that will help.
Let's move on to Arsenal though. Mm-hmm. Some big news around Arsenal this week.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Unai Emery, the new manager, Arsene Wenger's successor. I think we're all expecting Mikel Arteta.
I certainly was expecting
Arteta. It seemed to come a little bit out of the blue. That's not necessarily the case. There were reports that they were talking to the likes of Emery. Allegri was also being considered. James, what do you think about this move? Is Unai Emery a smart move? It feels like a good appointment, but it's not necessarily one that particularly is exciting Arsenal fans. It seems safe.
I think Arsenal fans... There's such a large minority of Arsenal fans that look to get angry, and they're so used to that, it's like muscle memory. They're ready to get angry at whoever was given the job. But the Arteta thing, from what I was aware of,
this is a legitimate source.
It was done. And so it must have been a very late change of mind from Arsenal, not from Arteta. In terms of those two, I think Unai Emery is a far better choice.
It was weird because it felt like Arsenal fans were dissatisfied with Arteta. He's not got enough experience. He's not got the clout to be Arsenal manager. But then all of a sudden, when Emery came along, it was like, it should have been Arteta.
It's
the case of they would have been very brave to go with Arteta, but it could have paid off. He's rated highly. You know, Pep thinks the world of him. He's been given a new contract at Man City. So he's clearly talented in what he does. Managing a football club or being first coach of a football club like Arsenal is a different kettle of fish than coaching players on a training pitch. I think that it wasn't their choice to go safe with Emery. My feeling is that they would have wanted to go with Arteta, but he wanted too much control over transfer budgets, which and what players to come in and come out. And obviously... Arsenal got this guy from Dortmund, I can't remember his name.
Yeah, they've got a different... Sven Mislintat.
They've
got a different structure in place, essentially.
Yeah.
And for a coach.
Yeah, and they've set up their infrastructure inside the club that way. So they couldn't change it for the whim of the managers coming in. I think the same problem with Allegri and Simeone is that they would want that control. They've gone with Emery. And it is, I feel like, a safe, underwhelming manager.
Do you feel...
I think it's smart. It's not safe. I think it is.
There is this aspect of perhaps we're underestimating Emery. Obviously won the Europa League 3 times in a row of Sevilla. He's won the league with PSG. Okay, you can debate the merits of that, given their Champions League form. But, I mean, as a Spurs fan, does it worry you, Emery coming in? Because, for me, it felt like the longer Wenger was there, the better for Spurs. We finished above them now 2 seasons in a row.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. But then... Are you worried now that you could see a resurgence from Arsenal?
No, I'm not. I'm trying my hardest not to be partisan because I know it's not this kind, that kind of podcast.
Be as partisan.
Come
as
to listen to the Fighting Cock if you want to hear partisan Spurs. But I say it's safe, and it doesn't worry me so much. I say it's safe because he has a track record of winning trophies, but he doesn't have a track record of really. Lifting a club up to
it's not upper, the upper echelons. Inspirational point. If they ever managed to get Allegri, for example, who's just won the Scudetto once again,
double.
I think that would have been
four times, mad.
I think that would have been a much more exciting appointment for Arsenal fans. But at the same time, is this almost the level Arsenal are at?
I think you've got to be. I've said myself, like, of course it's Allegri. Of course you want Allegri.
Of course.
But you're being slightly deluded if you think that a guy who's at Juventus, he's got Netflix docs being made about him because he's won four doubles on the trot. He's not going to the sixth place team who are in this weird bubble where they just you just get abuse from all angles and it's only a story when you lose. And also, you've got to follow a guy who's been there 22 years. Yeah. That's why... I think this guy is perfect. He's the right age. He's got experience that he'll be able to deal with the pressure, and he'll be able to look back on different moments in his managerial career that Arteta wouldn't have been able to do, because they're going to draw a game, they're going to lose a game, and they're going to have to be able to deal with that. And then on the other side of it, his style, I think, is exactly what they need as well. One, he'll let Mislintat do all the transfer stuff. He'll concentrate on the team and they will be more organised, which has been one of the main things that have held Arsenal back.
It's the tactical nous as well, surely. He seems like a manager very tactically aware. It's something that Arsenal may have been lacking the last couple of seasons with Arsene Wenger.
Yeah, maybe, because I think the game has kind of left Wenger behind. He was obviously a genius for many, many years. And that said, he won three FA Cups recently. So it's not like, you know, it's not like he was sort of dead in the water, but... The thing is, he's done great at pretty much every football club he's been to. He's gone, you know, winning three Europa Leagues. He's done great at Valencia and doing the treble, domestic treble with PSG, despite all the money. It's still an achievement. It's not easy to do that sort of stuff. His failings have been when playing against elite football clubs or the clubs in the top of the league. That's where he's struggled.
Defeat against Barcelona is going to go down as one of the most humiliating defeats in football history.
They won the first leg 4-0 though.
Yeah, so which makes it even worse.
Christian Hennage, your very own. It was said to me in the video that we did for Ball Street. He made a great point that at Sevilla they went a whole year without winning away from home. I think it was, which has been the big problem with Arsenal, because I think a lot of the time they're quite. He makes teams a bit more solid, but when, and this is what Christian said, but when they end up playing. Essentially, anyone below sixth place, they're going to come across a team that's going to have a low block and they're going to have the ball. And will he be able to deal with those guys? So what I can imagine is maybe a few more strong away performances against the better sides, but still some frustrating draws and maybe losses.
Sounds good to me.
Well, what it does do is it removes one problem in the short term, and it removes the toxic atmosphere at Arsenal around that football club. They needed a change. The fans have got what they wanted. They all of them should be behind this manager, because we're talking all this stuff, but we don't know. The minute that they go into next season, and he could be top of the league by Christmas, and you'd be thinking, oh, well, he's finally got the platform he needed. You know, they've got that change. It's about removing the toxic atmosphere at Arsenal, and they can build on that. I don't know how long it's going to last, because we know what Arsenal fans have been like in the past.
But I think this is it. This is like, you've got a guy who, that's why I think, again, it's a good appointment, because you've got a guy who, he has been around the block. He has got a bit of credit to his CV. So this is an opportunity for Arsenal fans, if you're listening, take a deep breath.
Rally back.
And go again, because you're right. They needed a change.
He does have a good record. He has two things going for him as well. He likes attacking football. Mm. He plays his sides play very good, decent football. Mm. You know, exciting to watch. And he has a good track record of developing players as well. Rakitic, especially Sevilla. So that could play into Arsenal's hands as well, because they've got some really good young players. Maitland-Niles, especially.
Feel the fingers brought through.
Yeah, that he could really help develop. So.
Yeah, you do just think that they need a bit more information, these players, and that's what he'll offer.
A bit more coaching, yeah. Okay, guys, let's move on to our final point. We're going to talk the Champions League final, of course, tomorrow night, Real Madrid versus Liverpool in Kiev. Liverpool fans getting very excited about this one.
Yeah.
How do you think this one's going to go, James? Because, I mean, a lot has been made about how this is two teams you can't defend, two incredibly attacking teams. You've got Mohamed Salah, you've got Cristiano Ronaldo. Is this going to be a goal fest? Is this going to be a classic for the ages, do you think?
Well, because I feel like we're talking a lot here, and this is your podcast. But what do you think?
This is what I do.
I know I do, and it's soothing.
The
it's
whole
lovely.
Thing about the front
and I love it.
I ask the questions because I'm interested to get the opinions.
Sorry.
The insight.
I'm not used to being this side of it.
Everyone here is basically a host on their own particular podcast. So everyone's trying to host it.
What do you think, Flav?
James, give us your opinion. Look, is it going to be a goal fest? Is it going to be a classic?
I think... So this is the way I think it's going to go down. The first half is crucial to this game. And the first half, and certainly the first 60 minutes, Liverpool need to be in the lead by that point. Because if they're not, then the experience of Real Madrid will be massive. A stat I saw, which I thought was really good, and I think part of it is because Liverpool are able to blitz teams, is that I think 12-3 is the aggregate score up to 75 minutes for Liverpool. But then after that, it's 6-1 against them. So, and you saw it in the Spurs
game.
That's
some lovely stats.
Thank you.
Thank
you so much. Thank you so much. And you saw it with the Spurs game away from home that they were brilliant.
Same aroma.
But then they do kind of run out of gas a little bit. And when that happens, you make mistakes, both defensively and with the ball. And you can lose momentum, which is such a huge thing for Liverpool and a Liverpool side that there isn't a single player in that team that's played in the Champions League final, whereas the Real Madrid side, I think it's like 80% of them have played in four or so. And one of them.
Two in a row.
So for me, they need to be in the lead by 60 minutes, and if they're not, Real Madrid will win it, and I imagine Ronaldo will probably score.
Yeah, take your shirt off, score a meaningless penalty at the end. I can't see past Real Madrid. Honestly, I think they've won two in a row. As James is saying, they've got that nous, they've got that experience, they've got that know-how. Liverpool, I don't think they're going to have it on the night. There could be a surprise. I think, you know, we've seen that against Man City.
Yeah.
Anything can happen in this competition. We saw it in Istanbul. We saw it with Chelsea in 2012. The expectations can be confounded. But it feels like Real Madrid three in a row is going to happen. For
I hope so.
You hope so? You don't want Liverpool to win.
No, we're not going to go into it in too... To anyone who watches bullshit won't understand.
What do you mean, for those who don't?
For those that don't, I'm not one of these fans that think, oh, they're English, I want to see an English club win. No chance. I want them to lose, I want them to lose badly.
Fans will be unbearable if they
lose. Well, there's that as well. Because if they do, it kind of casts a light on your own failures, which is not a pleasant experience.
I think Spurs will be the only top six club not to have won silver in the last 10 years.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, just to add extra stakes to why Real Madrid need to win this game.
Yeah, I think I'm really excited. I'm really, really, really excited, and it's very rarely that I get excited about football these days.
It's gonna be class.
I literally cannot wait for that whistle to go. I feel the same way that I do when I'm looking forward to a really big boxing match. I watch a lot of boxing, and I feel the same about that now. It's going to be such a great game, and if you remove all of the partisanship, remove the fact that I'm a Spurs fan, you want these two teams in the final because they are going to go at each other and it's going to be incredible.
I think it's the most exciting final.
I think it, out of all of the teams it could have possibly, maybe PSG against Real Madrid would have been exciting as well. But I think this will potentially, and it has the potential to be the greatest Champions League final ever.
It's going to be 0-0, isn't it?
You know it. Stinker.
It's going to be penalties, extra time. That's happening. Are you back in Real Madrid for this one? Who's your
I am. I'm back in Real Madrid.
Why is that?
There is maybe one player that would get into that Real Madrid side from Liverpool, and that's not even guaranteed. And that's obviously Salah. You look at, you know, Liverpool, they've got Van Dijk, but they're still slightly fragile at the back. You can't contain Real Madrid.
Do you think
so it's about
Real Madrid are fragile about though, because we saw in that second leg against Juventus they conceded, was it 3 at home?
I think Liverpool will do it. I do. I think speed kills.
I can see it as well.
Speed kills. And do you know, down that side, Marcel, what's going to be interesting to see if Bale plays or not.
Mm.
And where Bale plays as well. Because who's going to be on that left-hand side? I wonder if you... I haven't seen a huge amount of Real Madrid, but if they played Bale and played Bale on that left-hand side, and I know Ronaldo likes to drift over there as well, but if you played Bale there, it would mean Marcelo wouldn't get forward as much.
Mm.
And I'm not... It's how you want to look at a game of football. Do you not concentrate on the opposition, or do you? Because what they'll might happen... But if Marcelo goes, right, that's a big space that Salah's left with. And yeah. that's their guy.
Mm.
There's so many different ways it will work. But I think Firmino is crucial. Milner is crucial. Because when they counter-attack, they need to do it with quality. But they can do it devastatingly.
Of course they can do it. They can beat them. Liverpool can beat them. Of course they can. They can. They've got enough in them to do it. It's just that when you... At this stage, all we can look at the names on the paper and who's going to start. And you look at Casemiro, Modric, Cruz... Ronaldo, Benzema, Bale.
I do feel Ramos, a lot's going to depend on that, what team Zidane selects. Because as you say, you could start with Bale, who's obviously been performing well recently. You could start with Isco, brings you more control. Maybe that nullifies Liverpool in that first sort of 60 minutes, as you're saying. I think Zidane has got all of his team is fit, essentially. He's got a sort of a selection headache in that sense. That's almost an issue for Real Madrid.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how he's going to deal with it. What, finally, is going to be your score prediction for the game, James?
What did I do? I'm going to go 3-2 Liverpool.
Ooh. I'm going to go 4-3 Real Madrid.
I reckon something like 4-2 Real Madrid.
There's got to be goals, isn't there?
There will be goals. We're going to be really disappointed if it's a scoreless
draw.
But for now, guys, thank you so much for joining us on the front row. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Loan signings, if you will, for this week's podcast.
Let's go back to our parents.
For now, though, where can the listeners find more of you?
We've got Twitter at Love the Shirt. You can download the podcast, The Fighting Cock, and we've got a website, fightingcock.co.uk. Do people still give out
websites? Still got websites. Yeah, it seems like old
school. I don't know why I said that.
Fightingcock.co.uk. Yeah. Did you get a lot of traffic?
Not a great deal. No.
I can't get more right now. James, where can the listeners find you?
Well, unfortunately, I haven't got a website. So Twitter at James Allcott, A-L-L-C-O-T-T. Podcast Great Touch for a Big Lad, and my YouTube channel is James Lawrence Allcott.
Very good stuff, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We'll speak to you hopefully tomorrow night for a little Champions League reaction. Until then, enjoy the Champions League final.
Three, that's a magic number. Three. It is, it's the magic number. Somewhere in this hip-hop soul community was born three laced up in me, and that's a magic number.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.